We'll go to Rajas, verse number 34. Yayatu dharma kamarthan dritya dharayate arjuna prasangena phalakankshi driti sa partha rajasi. So what is the rajasi driti? What is rajasic driti? He says dharma kama artha. So what happened is there are four goals of life: dharma, artha, kama and moksha. We'll talk about them. But this person only wants dharma, kama and artha, and dhritya with persistence. Dharayate Arjuna. Oh Arjuna, this person, his goal in life is not liberation. His goal in life is mostly kama and artha. What I can get financially with what wealth and what sexual, what sensual desires, all worldly pleasures, how I can get. And how does he work in the world? Prasangena, with extreme attachment. Sangha means attachment. Prasanga means prakarshena. Sangha means extreme attachment. And phalakangshi. Phalakangshi, as we have talked about, is fruit. What is the result? What is in it for me? What am I going to get? So a person who works, such a person is said to be rajasic, who works only for himself and selfishness. Now in life, there are four purusharthas or four goals that we all have to achieve: dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So dharma is translated as righteousness, right action. That is how it should be. Artha is wealth or material pleasures, material gains, and kama is pleasures. So what the scriptures tell us, that you should earn and you should enjoy. It's not that all of us cannot put on orange clothes and go live in the forest or go live in the monasteries or in the seminaries. We have to work in the world. So work in the world, enjoy, accumulate, collect, but with dharma, with right actions. So when I earn, my earning should be in the right way, should be done honestly. And when I'm enjoying my pleasures, they should be done honestly, not using dishonest means to enjoy my life. And then ultimately, I have to go beyond artha and kama to moksha or liberation, which is the goal of life, where I am free from this world and I become a saint or become a realized master, which we have talked many times. Such a person then works in the world without being part of the world, as a liberated soul, as a master, as a spiritual giant. But a rajasic person, he does not translate as right actions. He translates as duty or rituals. So he does his duty, but with the idea that I should get maximum wealth and maximum pleasures. Maximum wealth and maximum pleasures for myself, not for sharing, not for helping, for me alone. Even when he does rituals, when he does prayers, he does them with the idea that I'll go to heaven. You know, because I do so many rituals, and I will, in heaven, I will enjoy all the pleasures. Whatever I couldn't enjoy here, I will enjoy. So then that prayer is not of any benefit. You are enjoying here, you are enjoying in heaven. Heaven is a place of extreme enjoyment. If you want to evolve from this earth, they say go to Brahma Loka. Go to the Loka of Brahmaji, where you will meet other seekers, other saints, and Brahmaji himself will teach you. So that is the goal you should aspire to, not go to heaven. Heaven is nothing. It's just Hawaii multiplied 10 times. That's all. It is nothing. It's just a place of extreme sense pleasures. You can eat all you want. You never gain weight. You can drink all you want. Nothing happens to your liver. All the women are there for you to enjoy. That is the same as on earth. You know, if you have enough money, you can do all those things. So heaven should not be a goal. But most of these rajasic people, even that is not their goal. Their whole goal is heaven, hell, kisne dekha hai? Who has seen heaven and hell? Enjoy in this world. Khao, piyo, maja karo. Life is too short. Let us not waste it. You know, after age 65, maybe if I feel like it, I'll go to these lectures. You know, these swamis, they keep coming and talking. They have nothing else better to do, you know. Why am I wasting my evening? You know, it's a Friday evening. Let me have a, you know, go to the bar and have a few drinks or hang out with my friends. My friend has a party and I'm sure the liquor will be very good. You know, Indian parties are all famous for that. So instead of wasting my weekend in that, and it's interesting when you tell somebody, have a nice weekend, right? On Friday, you tell somebody, have a nice weekend. What do you mean? Have a lot of parties, have a lot of fun, have friends. When we say, have a nice weekend, do we mean meditate a lot, you know, or study spiritual, or go to some good lectures? No. Our idea of nice weekend is what? Have a nice weekend. What it means, and then if you ask him, how was your, oh, it was great, my weekend was great. Weekend should be what? Like Saturday I had a lot of time in the morning. I meditated for an hour and a half. That should be a nice start of the weekend. Not I got up by, you know, eating or drinking, you know. Or I had extra time, I went to the temple, or I spent an hour and a half doing my puja, doing my sadhana. I had extra time to read, I had extra time to go and serve, you know, help somebody maybe build a house or Habitat for Humanity. So rajas is, all they think about is selfish attachment and fruit, what I can get for myself. There is a beautiful story, fisherman story. Actually, its time is a little short. We have a lot of questions, but I'll try to finish it. So there was this American consultant who was hired to improve the fishing. You know, the fisheries in India were not producing well. So this consultant was hired, and he was very high powered, paid a lot of money. And so he went to this village and he went to the shore, and there was this fisherman, you know, it was afternoon time, so he had caught a few fish. He had them in the ice basket and he was just relaxing, you know, sitting. And you know, so the man tells him, what are you doing? He said, I'm relaxing. He said, don't you want to catch any more fish? No. He says, you only have this much. That's all I have. He said, why don't you rent a boat? You know, he was a consultant, right? Why don't you rent a boat? He said, well, what will happen if I rent a boat? Well, you can take a boat and go way out and you can catch a lot more fish. Okay, then you can come back and you can sell them and you'll make a lot of money. And then maybe you can buy one boat, and then you can buy two boats and four boats and five boats. Okay, then I have all these boats. Then you can make a lot of money and you can sell your fish everywhere in the world. And then you can hire people, you know, to go in the boats and fish for you. And then you can sit and relax. He said, that's what I'm doing right now. Why should I go through all? So that is typical rajas. You know, they have to work. I'm not saying that, you know, work is wrong. But this person who was relaxing, I want to ask your opinion. Was he sattvic or was he tamasic? Huh? Sattvic or tamasic? Why is that? Why was he sattvic?
He was contented with what he had.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that is sattvic. But on the other hand, he could also be lazy. I don't want to work. See, sattvic is I don't need to work. Tamasic is I don't want to work. And see, there is a big difference. The person sitting could have the same. It is the mental attitude that one is I'm content, I'm happy, whatever God has given. Other one is I'm lazy, I don't want to work. So it could be either one. So that is what a rajasic person is. He just wants to work, acquire, possess, again for me, myself and I, not for sharing with the world. That's what they say, earn, but share with the world. So that is the rajasic. I'm sorry.
But in the process, the rajasic person has created employment, right?
That yes, not yes. No. It is very good. See, rajas is very good. But then rajas, if it's pure selfishness, if what he's doing, okay, he's creating employment. But if he's generating a lot of wealth and not sharing it, and he's increasing the poverty, right? Because where is he getting money from? By taking from somebody. So he may be overcharging, he may be corrupt. So, yeah, rajas is required for development. You know, I'm not arguing with you. But rajas alone is not enough. We have talked before. Rajas has to be mixed with sattva. Rajas has to be mixed. So we're not criticizing rajas. Nobody can be pure sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. We are all mixtures. The question is, which is your predominant quality? Are you predominantly sattvic, predominantly rajasic or predominantly tamasic? If you are pure rajas, then you're like any other businessman. You know, all you care about is how rich you get and how you exploit the people, how you cheat the people, you know, which most of the businessmen unfortunately do that. But no, you're right. I mean, rajas is required. All the development has happened because of rajas.
But I always feel that all three are balanced. Always yes. You have all three.
Right.
You cannot avoid one of them also, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you need tamas to sleep at night. But what is your predominant quality? See, are you predominantly sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? That's what this purpose of this Gita is. To tell us that make your life predominantly sattvic. Even when you're working, work with sattva. When you see a client or you see a customer, you deal with them as if the Lord himself has come. Then you work honestly, you don't cheat somebody, you don't hurt them, you don't exploit them. So always remembering the Lord, whatever I'm doing. Okay, the sattvic, that's also very interesting. Verse number 35. Yaya swapnam bhayam shokam.
Yaya swapnam bhayam shokam.
Vishadam madam eva cha.
Vishadam madam eva cha.
Navim munchati durmedha. Dhriti sa partha tamasi. So Partha is Arjuna's name. Oh Arjuna, Dhriti sa Dhriti tamasi. That Dhriti is tamasic. Which one? Yaya swapnam. Swapnam means sleep. Bhaya means fear. Shokam is grief. Vishadam is depression. And madam is arrogance. Na vimunchati. He never gives up. Durmedha. Durmedha is the word which means stupid. Because medha is a very beautiful word. Medha means intelligence, brilliance, memory. That's why we have Medha Suktam, you know, which if you chant every day, or if you chant the Gayatri Mantra every day, it actually increases your memory, your intelligence. But this person is called Durmedha, means who has the wrong intelligence, or you can call him stupid, or his intelligence is directed wrong way. So what happens? What are his qualities? Sleep. I need to sleep minimum 10 hours, you know. Otherwise, it's not enough. You know, how can you manage on 5 hours, 6 hours? These guys till 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, especially on the weekend. Again, he will sleep in the afternoon. Get up in the morning at 10, have a heavy brunch, then maybe go a little shopping. And again, 2 hours, he will sleep in the afternoon. Or he'll sit in front of the TV, you know, having his beer and his feet up. You know, that's it. That's what Swamiji says. Eat, mate and sleep. That's what animals do. And that is what most of these people sleep. And then fear. Fear is of the future. I'm always afraid. You know, I don't know what will happen. Problems are so much. The country is going downhill. If Trump gets elected, the country will be ended. Or if Hillary gets elected, you don't know what's... So always afraid, you know, always, nothing will happen. The country has been like that for 200 years. You think Trump or Hillary will change it? Nothing. Everything remains the same. There's a basic inertia. And people come and go. Institutions don't change. Institutions go. Countries, institutions, companies, you know, they say, oh, he's the CEO. If he's the one who established the company like Steve Jobs. What happens after he goes? What will happen to Apple? Apple is doing fine, isn't it? So institutions survive, people come and go. But these people have a lot of fear. Fear of the future or grief about the past. Shokam. I don't know why I did this. Just regret, you know, feeling sad and crying. and I wish I could go back and change. You can't go back and change. You just have to move on. Yes, whatever mistakes I made, I learned from them, but to keep dwelling upon it, oh, I'm such a bad person, I'm so... So these people either have fear of the future, grief about the past, regrets, or in the present, depression. I'm depressed. You know why? I have nothing to do, no goal in life, no purpose. The whole world is against me. Are you that important that the whole world will be against you? You know, these people are depressed for nothing. And what do? They make psychiatrists successful. I think we have Dr. Manohara here. So talking about psychiatrists, so this lady was very stressed, very, you know, depressed and stressed. So her friend says, your husband is a psychiatrist. How come you are so depressed and stressed? Why don't you go talk to him? She says, yeah, every time I try to talk to him, he makes me lie down on a couch to talk. And then he sends me a bill. He tells me, lie down on a couch. That's the only way I can talk. Three psychiatrists were at a conference, you know, at a seminar. So they were all three talking. You know, all the people come and share their problems with us. And we cannot share our problems with anybody. You know, whom can we talk to? You know, and they come and all kind of nonsense they tell us, and we have to listen. So, okay, let us do this, three of us. You know, each one of us maybe has some secret. So let us share with each other, you know, whatever secrets we have. So that way, you know, man halka ho jayega, you know, your mind will become light. So one psychiatrist says, you know, these patients, they talk so much and they bring all their stupid fantasies and all their wild imaginations and all their addictions. I get so angry. If I feel like I should get a gun and shoot them. I'm so angry. I just hate my patients. But what can I do? I have to work. So the second guy, so what about you? He says, my secret is I do the same thing. I get angry at my patients. But what do? I overcharge them. I charge them so much. I make them come frequently, even when they need it or not, keep extending their therapy. So that's how I get back at my patients. So that is my secret. First one, my secret is I should kill the patient. Second one, overcharge. So they ask the third one, what is your secret? He says, my secret is I cannot keep any secrets. So these people are always depressed, you know, always running to the psychiatrist. And then arrogance. I alone am right. You know, that's what fanatics do. My way is right. It's either my way or highway. And whoever is against me should be killed. A Rajasic person, you know, sees the whole picture. But these people see such a narrow view. And that is the problem with these people. And their thinking is durmedha. The intelligence is perverted. Their mind is wrong. Their thinking is wrong. They think different from the rest of us. See, the saints also think different from the rest of us. But the saints think what is good for society. But these people think only what is good for me, the society. I don't care what happens to society as long as I get my drink, I get my drugs. You know, that's why they lie, they cheat. All these drug dealers, all these, you know, cheats and robbers, they all fall in that. Even politicians can be, you know, tamasic. If the politician is in it only for himself, he doesn't care about what happens to the world. If he's corrupt, an industrialist could be tamasic. You know, why? Because I'm only in it for me. And no matter how much the world gets hurt, if I cheat them. So even a priest, you might think a priest, you know, would be sattvic. That is true. A priest generally is sattvic, who are, you know, working in the church or in the temple. But if he is working, not that I am serving the Lord, but I am here for earning a living, and whoever gives me more money, I respect that person more. Who doesn't give money, I don't treat them well. And all I am looking for is how much is the collection today, how much will I get, what is my... So activities can be sattvic, rajasic or tamasic depending on the attitude. How are you working? Are you working as a service of the Lord, or are you working only as a service for myself? So that is the whole essence of the verse. Like we said, that person sleeping, whether he's tamasic or sattvic, depends on his attitude. So let us again, as I said again and again, these verses are not meant to judge. You know, my husband, I think he needs to come to this class. He has a lot of tamas. No, it is for me. You know, Arjuna, Krishna is talking to me. Krishna is not talking to Arjuna. Krishna is not talking to the whole world. He is talking to me. So every night we should read this Bhagavad Gita and practice it, bring it in our life. Then and then alone this knowledge is useful. And it could be Bhagavad Gita, it can be the Bible, it can be the Quran, depending on your religion. But the goal should be that I should read some spiritual text every night, at least for half an hour to 1 hour before I sleep. Pick up the book and read. That's why, you know, we have copies. If you don't have, please take it. That way you can read the commentary, whatever verses we have covered. We also have a lot of other good books in the office. You have seen a lot of Mananam series, a lot of other general books that are very good for spiritual journey. So that before sleeping at night, I should read something good. So that is the essence. So the sattvic person controls his mind and intellect and directs them higher to the Lord. The rajasic person is looking only for me. He works hard. It's not that he's lazy. He's working hard, but only for acquiring wealth and pleasure for myself. And then the tamasic person basically sleeps and lives in sleep, fear, laziness, always depressed. Actually, sitting with them, you get depressed too. So that is what they say, that associate with people who are saintly, people who are sattvic. So, you know, gatherings like this where we are talking good things. So associate with good people, associate with good books, associate with good thoughts. Even when you're on the internet, there are so many talks by Acharya, Swami. So listen to those. So that is the purpose of studying this. So this is sattvic, rajasic and tamasic dhriti. And next week we'll talk about sattvic, rajasic and tamasic happiness. Because we are all living for happiness. So there are three kinds. You say happiness is three kinds? Yes. Even happiness is of three kinds. So that is what we'll talk next week. We have 5 minutes. Any questions?
Right. Because we see that a lot in patients. And I think they're just not able to handle it.
No, very right. It's chemical. No, that's why I said it that way. Fear is of the... I don't know if you can see my chart. But if you can move
see,
a little. But fear is of the future. Grief is of the past. And depression is of the present. That's how I spoke today, but I totally agree with what I think different speakers take different meanings out of the words. But the essence of it is all that they are all negative values, fear, depression, grief, fatigue, laziness. So that is what are the negative qualities.
If they grieve, if their child died or spouse died or something.
No, yeah.
That's where I have.
Right. No, I think that's a good point. See, grief, child died is not tamasic, but to hold on to that for years and keep on grieving about it and never get out of it and make your life useless. See, death is there for everybody. You know, now I know unfortunately losing a child is very sad, but you have to understand that each and every one of us comes with a set life, and it's not set by God, it is set by us. When I am born, I decide how long I'm going to live. And it is based on my vasanas and based on my karmas. So each individual comes with a fixed lifespan. And no, neither God decides it, nor the person who shot him, nor the car accident. It is my own jiva, the individual being, comes to this earth only for a particular time to fulfill certain karmas and certain vasanas. And when that time is ended, that person leaves. Now, the reason could be something. It could be illness, could be car accident, could be a plane crash, could be somebody shot him. The reason may be multiple, but the individual has come. Some child dies at, 6 minutes. So that was the only, now a mosquito lives only a few hours, right? So say you feel sorry for them. No, that's the person. And the tree of that that Sharman is living for 2500 years. So each individual jiva comes. So when you understand that, then there is a grief. But you don't hold on to that and then make your life like patients come to me. Oh, I have been on this antidepressant. I say, how long? You've been on it 5 years. Why for 5 years? My mother died 5 years ago. So I said, no, I'm sorry your mother died, but mother died 5 years ago. Get over it. Why are you still on antidepressants? You have to move on. And whoever is born is bound to die, right? This patient came to me. My grandmother died 18 years ago, and that grandmother brought me up. You feel sorry for that, but because of that, he does nothing. He doesn't work. He's on antidepressants. He's on Medi-Cal. And he's just taking society. He's taking, that is called tamas. See, for to hold, literally this person, and then I told him something and he said, you don't have any sympathy for me? Then my grandmother took care of me. I said, look, it's not a question of sympathy. You need to move on with your life. How long are you going to hold on to your grandmother who died 18 years ago? And he's still crying about it. So that is called shoka. That is. Right. Yeah, sickle cell. Yeah, look at your Bhavna and Sanjay. Now, they lost a child, but out of that came this movement that they are doing so much for sickle cell, not only in India, but in Gujarat. They are going to the villages and, you know. So that is called where you use that sorrow to evolve and not to become worse.
Everybody is not that strong. They need to be with the right people. Then you think about it, you share your thoughts, and then you can move on.
Just right.
The example you said, if he's hanging on to his grandmother's passing away.
Right.
You could have said, if your grandmother would have done something like his father or mother, he would not have taken care of you.
That's true. No, you're right.
Very difficult, right. But we have to move on.
Absolutely. Yeah, my father's mother passed when he was very young, and he had a stepmother, and she was not very nice. But despite all that, he became, you know, one of the most successful. He was top in Siemens, and then he built this cancer hospital. He had a very tough childhood, but if he died, you just keep holding on to that. Oh, my mother died, or you can use it to become more strong.
They might be religious, they might read, they might go to temples, they follow certain criteria in life, but they haven't reached a level that a young one has reached. Is it because maybe genes, or is it because they brought traits from their last life?
Yeah, it is from previous life. Actually, Arjuna asks Krishna in the 6th chapter. He says, what happens if I die before reaching enlightenment? Then will my life be wasted? And Krishna says, no, nothing is wasted in this world. Whatever good deeds you have done. See, you can only carry your good deeds and your spiritual progress. You cannot carry your money, your house, your wife, your children, your husband. Jewelry, nothing you can carry. Only thing goes with you are your karmas and your spiritual progress. So Krishna says, a person who has done this kind of journey, then I put him in the house of yogis or in the house of very wise people where he can then continue his journey at a very young age. So having done a lot of good karmas, these are those young people at a very young age, they are very evolved. Because they have done a lot of good karma, so it's all you carry with you. So that's why child prodigies, you know, like Mozart could play music at age 5 because he must have been a great musician in his past life. Bobby Fischer was a chess grandmaster at age 10. He could beat most of the world's chess players. So same way, Raman Maharishi, you know, at very young age, by 7 or 8, he was already going into samadhi. Shankaracharya, by age 9, had written commentaries on Upanishads and was giving discourses. So these people have done a lot of tapas in their past life. So the idea is that I should do as much as I can, and then it is guaranteed that if I am leading a spiritual life, my next life will be better. So it's all from past life. So it's what we have is not only one life. We have lived thousands of lives before. Right.
But I understand from past life, that's what I was thinking. I think they carry attributes from their
right. Actually, just this last 2-3 months ago, I went to India, and my brother-in-law invited a few people, you know, for asking me to talk on Gita, and so I talked to them about Gita, and then like that, I asked that anybody has any question, and this 18-year-old boy, he says, you know what, what I want to know is, what is Brahman and who am I and how can I be Brahman? How can I reach that? I said, how old are you? 18? I said, oh my God, at 18, I said, these questions, even to a 50-year-old, don't normally arise. I said, I bow down to you. You must be a very, so he got very embarrassed. But that's the thing, you know, he said, I already meditate, and I meditate on Brahman, and I am that. But how can I expedite my journey? So people are on different, you know, speed. They work at different, like athletes, you know, somebody runs fast, somebody runs slow. So everybody has their own pace. So the idea is that looking at them, we should be inspired that I should also continue my spiritual journey.
So would you say that it has to be a proper time? When you're ready, it comes to you?
No, it should be today, now. Right now, I should. No, there is no proper time. There is no better time than now. Today itself, I should decide to start my spiritual journey. And see, this is a karma bhumi. It's a land of karma. Whatever effort you put, you will get the result. If you put it now, you will get it now. If you put 10 years from now, you have wasted 10 years. Having now got this Gita and studied and learned this, from today itself, I should resolve. That's why Eckhart Tolle says, everything is now. There's nothing in the future. Even when the future comes, it will come as now. You say 10 years from now, I will study. But in 10 years, when it comes, it will still be now. So you can only function in the now.
In chapter 15 also, Bhagavan says that when you leave, your fragrance will come with you.
Right.
Your fragrance is your vasanas or whatever.
Yes. Vayur gandha nivashayat. Yes. Just as a breeze carries the perfume of the flowers. So similarly, your vasanas are, that's why vasana is said as, in Gujarati means smell. So it is the smell, the gandha of your previous life that is carried. Yes.
Is that the soul?
Yeah, the soul, that is the mind and intellect, is the subtle body. This is the gross body, which we can see, male, female. And the mind and intellect is the subtle body, and conditioned by the vasanas, it is the jiva, or the soul, or the individuality. And the om, the consciousness, nothing happens. When I die, nothing happens to the consciousness. The body is buried or cremated. But the mind and intellect, which is the subtle body, conditioned by the vasanas, goes either to heaven or hell, and then takes a new body at an appropriate time based on my vasanas and based on my karmas. Like some children in the same household, one is a good musician, one is good in sports. How is that? Previous lifetimes. One is a very good person, one is a very bad person, based on vasanas. One is born in the house of Rockefeller or, you know, Kennedy, or born in the house of, you know, Bill Gates. Another one is born in a hut in Africa, you know, suffering from AIDS. It's previous karmas. Everything is based on karmas and vasanas. So I decide my body that I'm going to take. God doesn't decide. God doesn't punish anybody. He doesn't give any, he doesn't play any favorites. Whatever is happening, I chose it. I chose it. I chose it. That is the only thing. So my choice is whether to do right or wrong. And based on that, I'll get right or wrong results. So you cannot blame your God, or you cannot blame your husband or wife or children or neighbor or boss or co-worker. You only blame yourself if things are not going well in your life.
So that means if Trump comes, I should leave the country?
No, Trump comes because the country deserves it. See, you get the leader you deserve. That's why in so many countries the leaders are so corrupt, because people are corrupt. So they elect a corrupt leader. So you get the leader you deserve. So you don't blame Trump, you blame yourself. And same thing, if you don't like Hillary, if she got elected, it is your own. You cannot blame them. You get the leaders you deserve. I believe that 100%. Okay, we'll end a little over. So let's go to the hall for aarti. And then we do have lunch. And then Swami Ishwarananji, I mentioned. Also, we have 2 more days of Navratri chanting. Actually, 3 days. Today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. It's a beautiful chanting. I came last night. 1 hour, your mind is in total meditation. So it's 6:30 to 7:30. So please come, if you would like. It's because these are days of Navratri. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhagave. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah Hari Om.